Welcome to an enlightening podcast from IslamPodcasts.com. We encourage our listeners to please comment and let us know how we can grow in our knowledge to better serve our community. Please remind your family and friends to also visit IslamPodcasts.com for engaging discussions on current events, Islamic guidance, Quran, tafsir, seerah, and much more. Thank you for listening to this podcast. Podcasts on current events, Islamic guidance, Quran tafsir, and seerah are available at islampodcasts.com as well as on iTunes. Rate, review, and comment and let us know how we can grow in our knowledge to better serve our community. Please subscribe, share, and tell a friend about islampodcasts.com as well as rate, review of iTunes.
Indeed, all praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We praise Him. We seek His help and His forgiveness. We seek refuge with Allah from our soul's evils and our wrong actions. Whomsoever Allah guides, none can misguide. And whomsoever Allah leads astray, none can guide. I bear witness and testify that none has the right to be worshipped except Allah, the one true God. And I bear witness and testify that Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, and all the prophets of God, that he is the final messenger of God. The world today has three major, what is usually called three monotheistic religions. And that is Islam, Christianity, and Judaism. Now each of these three monotheistic religions, or what are called monotheistic religions, believe in a messenger, or in the case with Christianity, believe in Jesus as more than a messenger of God. And those messengers are prophets. Those messengers and prophets are Prophet Muhammad, Jesus, and Moses. Peace and blessings be upon all of them. However, all of these three religions, they recognize the high quality of a noble person, the high quality of a certain individual, prophet and a man. And his name is Abraham. In biblical tradition, it's Abraham. And in the Islamic tradition, in Arabic, it's Ibrahim, alayhi salam. And the beginning of my talk, I want to focus on this individual. Because in reality, if we focus on him, as he is the individual to whom all of those three religions look towards, in a sense, the founding father. Let us look at this founding father. Let us look towards his religion. Let us look to his way of life, what he upheld, what he believed, and what he practiced. Because in fact, in this particular individual, Abraham, there is a clue to what is the true religion. There is a clue to what is the straight path, what is the true religion. So the proposition I would like to made today is that there is only one God, that there is only one true concept and one correct belief in that one God. And in fact, there is in essence only one religion acceptable to God. That all of the prophets like Abraham, Moses and Jesus and Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon all of them believed in the one same God. And all of them taught the same religion. So we need to ask ourselves, what was the religion of Abraham? What was the religion of Abraham? Was Abraham a Jew? Was he a Christian? Or was he a Muslim? Let us look. Let us look towards his way. Now we don't know from any external evidence or historical evidence, including the Bible, if we call it an historical document, the actual name of Abraham's religion. But there are some things that we can understand by looking towards the life of Abraham, peace and blessings be upon him. What he believed and what he upheld and what he preached and practiced. The first thing which is clear from studying the life of this great man is that he opposed all forms of idolatry. Abraham opposed all forms of idolatry. He lived amongst a people who worshipped. They worshipped idols which were carved from stones and wood. And also during his time they worshipped, the people during his time also worshipped the sun, the stars and the moon. And he, Abraham, opposed all of this. And he vigorously, and he called the people to the worship of the one God, the creator of the heavens and the earth, the one who has ultimate control and power and authority over all things. Abraham's message was clear and it was uncompromising. It was uncompromising. The created things which they used to worship, like the sun, the stars and the moon, the idols which were carved out of wood and stones, that they were indeed false objects of worship. The people prayed to them. They supplicated to them. They used them as intercessors between themselves and God. Yet in fact, all of these were incapable of bringing any benefit or harm to the people or any help towards them. The people during his time, their lives were wasted. Their lives were wasted and indeed their intellect destroyed by dedicating themselves, by worshipping and seeking help from those things which had no ability to help them or to give them any benefit. So he, Abraham, uncompromising in his monotheistic belief, his call to the people that they should only worship the one true God, the creator of the heavens and the earth. There is one particular incident from his life of this great man which highlights and demonstrates the reality of the religion which he followed, which he practiced, and which he believed in, and which he also taught. And that is indeed the true religion of the one true God. And this story, and many of us are familiar with this story, was when he was ordered by God to sacrifice his son. Now, according to biblical tradition, the son that he was ordered to sacrifice his son, Isaac. But Islam clarifies it, and he says it was Ishmael. But that's not really important. That's not important. But what is important in our discussion, here is the actual action. The actual action. The actual event which took place, which is more or less agreed upon by all of us. Abraham was ordered by God. And the Quran tells Abraham, it mentions that Abraham had a dream. And when prophets have dreams, according to Islamic tradition, dreams are revelation. When a prophet has a dream, it is considered revelation from God. So he was ordered to sacrifice his son. Now we have to think, where is the logic, the rationale, the reasoning in this? Where is the morality in that? Does that sound to you like a good moral action to sacrifice a human being? To kill a human being? In fact, Abraham approached his son. And he told him that he had a dream that I have to sacrifice you. That I have to slaughter you. And his son tells him, do what God has commanded you to do. For you will find me, God willing, patient, inshallah. Now, does this sound like a good moral action to kill a human being, to kill your son? But Abraham was a true believer in God. And to be a true believer in God does not mean that you believe in God alone, that He is the creator of the heavens and the earth, that He has authority over all things, and that He has all power, that He is eternal and infinite. That is not what it means to be a true believer in God. But believing in God is more than that. Believing in God is more than that. So Abraham was ordered to sacrifice his son. And what was the reaction? We hear and we obey. That was the reaction of Abraham. We hear and we obey. What the Creator orders us to do, we do it. It does not matter if it makes sense to us or not, if it seems moral or not. Because the person who truly believes in God, he knows that the Creator is all-wise, all-hearing, and all-knowing. So Abraham takes his son. And while he was about to sacrifice his son, the angel, Jibril alayhi salam, Gabriel, comes and intervenes and tells Abraham that you have fulfilled the commands of God and a ram comes down instead. A ram, and that was slaughtered and sacrificed instead. So what do we learn from Abraham? What do we learn from Abraham? Is that his relationship with the Creator of the heavens and the earth is one of obedience and subservience. That when God commanded Abraham to do something, he submitted himself. He submitted himself to God. Although we do not know the name of the religion of Abraham, but we can look towards his life. That he was someone who submitted to God alone and submitted to the commandments and the will of God. Therefore, it would be accurate to say that his religion is submission to God. According to his lifestyle, according to his way, it will be accurate to say that his religion, his way of life, his methodology will be submission to God. This was his belief, this was his way of life, and this is what he taught to others. How about Moses? And we know Moses is mentioned many, many times in the Quran. And in Arabic, his name is Musa, alayhi salam. And we know that Moses was a descendant of Abraham. Because we know that Abraham had two sons, Isaac and Ishmael. And from Isaac comes Jacob. And from Jacob comes the 12 children of Israel. And Abraham and Moses was actually one of the descendants of the children of Israel. Now, what was the name of the religion of Moses? Was Moses a Jew? Was Moses a Jew? If we examine the origins of the term Jew, the word Jew actually comes from the word Judah. Now, when the people of Israel were taken into captivity by the Babylonians, there was a small piece of land. There was a small piece of land left, which was known as Judah, one of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. So the people living in that land were started to be known as Jews coming from Judah. This is something which took place many, many centuries after Moses. This did not happen in the time of Moses. This happened after Moses. So this term Jew did not exist in the time of Moses. So there is no way you can say that Moses was a Jew, because this term did not exist in his time. But Moses had a religion. Moses had a religion which he taught, which he believed in, which he practiced, and which some of the people around him followed. Again, if we look to the Bible, we are at a loss to find the name of that religion. However, again, if we follow the same methodology, what did Moses believe and what did he preach, teach? We find the same fundamental message as Abraham. That Moses taught people that there is only one God, who is unique, eternal, self-sufficient, creator and controller over all things. That there is nothing that can be likened unto God. That God is not like anything in this creation, and his representation cannot be made in any way, in any created thing. No creature of the sea, no creature of the air, no human being in any way, shape, or form resembles God. God is unique. He is the creator of all those things. It is this God that all worship should be directed to. Prayers, worship, supplication, charity, and indeed, obedience should be directed only to that God, God Almighty. So what we find that is clear with the religion of Moses is a comprehensive set of laws, rules, guidelines, by which and through which the true believers of God must adhere to and must obey. That salvation and success in this life and the life to come is through believing in God and worshipping Him alone by submitting oneself to the divinely revealed commandments of God. Therefore, we find just as Abraham was someone who worshipped God alone, submitted to the commands of God, then Moses similarly believed in God alone, submitted to the commands of God, and taught other people to do the same. This is the religion of Moses. This was the religion of Moses. However, today the religion that is attributed to Moses, which they call Judaism, which in fact, in reality, not only considered to be the religion of Moses, but also the religion of other prophets as well, seems to tell a different story. Because Judaism, at least Orthodox Judaism, teaches that salvation is from being a Jew. That in order to get salvation, you have to be born of a Jewish woman. This has developed into a religion that teaches that salvation, therefore, is by right of birth, not due to one's obedience and submission to God. Although they may acknowledge that a Jew, meaning someone born of a Jewish woman, who is sinful, will be punished, might be punished for his sins, but eventually will go to paradise because salvation and paradise is for them. However, we find in reality this is not the teachings of Moses. This was not the teachings of Moses. This is something which has been attributed. This is an idea that has accumulated over time. That the original teachings and the original teachings of pure monotheistic religion of Moses, that one should worship God alone, submit to Him, and that is the way to salvation, has been changed, corrupted into a type of nationalistic or a racist or a type of racist religion. How about when we look towards Jesus? In Arabic, it's Isa, alayhi salam. What was the religion of Jesus? If we look to Christianity, that is the religion which is attributed to Jesus, alayhi salam. We find quite a different story. When we look in the Bible, we find, whether it's Abraham or Moses, or any other prophet, we find a consistent type of message. We find a consistent type of message. That there is only one God, who is the creator of all things. That He has no likeness, or no similitude. And one should submit to His commandments, obey His laws, and that is the way to salvation. And the people who turn away from that will be destroyed. And the people who follow that will be successful. That was the message of the prophets. From the beginning of time to the last prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon all of them. Christianity now tells us that Jesus comes and teaches us another message. In fact, a completely contradictory message. It contradicts that message, number one, on the primary basis of what we believe about God. Because in Christianity, we are told that the Creator became created. The one who is the Lord, the controller of all things, the controller of the heavens and the earth, the one who has power over all things, became a needy, temporarily mortal human being. Of course, it contradicts the monotheistic teachings of all of the prophets. It contradicts the monotheistic teachings of all of the prophets. Christianity now tells us, in fact, which is the essence of the teachings of paganism, the very thing which Abraham, Moses, and Jesus, and all the prophets spent so much time and energy trying to call the people away from. Christianity teaches us that we need, that we have to believe. This is what we have to believe in after all. That God manifests Himself in a form of a human being. This contradicts what monotheism, pure monotheism, is all about. This contradicts it. In fact, as I mentioned, this is the essence of paganism. Now, Christians will tell us, our Christian friends will tell us, that with the coming of Jesus, we now have to believe in a different message. With the coming of Jesus, we now have to believe in a different message. That God is a triune God, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. That the Father is God, the Son is God, and the Holy Spirit is God. They're not three gods, but one God. This is a doctrine which is unknown, undescribed by any previous prophets. The best thing that a Christian can tell us is they'll go to the Old Testament and they'll try to find something and tell us that this is speaking about the Trinity. that the Trinity is shown there. But where in the Bible any prophet, including Jesus, where they explain in clear and unambiguous terms the theology of Trinity? It does not exist. Now, it doesn't just end here. Salvation is not Tawheed anymore. Tawheed meaning to believe in the unique oneness of God, God Almighty. To believe the unity and the oneness of God and to worship Him alone and to follow the commandments of God. This is not salvation anymore. Salvation now is to worship Jesus. And now that we have an intermediary between man and God, and believing that Jesus died on the cross as an atonement for our sins, and salvation comes by believing in it and accepting it. This is salvation according to our Christian friends. However, was that really the teachings of Jesus? Or is this a religion that was invented after the time of Jesus? Did Jesus preach Christianity? Or did He in fact preach a different religion altogether? Jesus never taught a religion called Christianity. Rather, this term Christianity was a nickname just like the term Jew. In the Acts of the Apostles, it states that the first time they were called Christians was in Antioch. So this term came after Jesus, not during His time. The word Christian means a devotee or follower of Christ. But the term came after Jesus, not during His time. Jesus never called anyone to be a Christian. So what was the message of Jesus? What was the religion of Jesus? And even if you go to the Bible today, you clearly find that Jesus is calling people to believe in God, to worship God alone, that He clearly distinguishes Himself as someone different than God. That He is a servant of God. That He is a prophet of God. That He is someone that when He needs something, He prays to God. And Jesus clearly states in the Bible that He has a God. Jesus says He has a God. He says, I go unto my God and your God. My Father and your Father. So He says He has a God. Jesus says He has a God. In fact, you find, especially in the early gospel, the Gospel of Mark, Jesus is portrayed as a very human character. Only when you get to the later Gospels, as they proceed in age, meaning they get further away from Jesus, you find that Jesus is given more and more divine attributes. That's why when you compare Mark, which is the earliest Gospel, compare it to John, which is the later Gospel, you find all the I am sayings and all the popular sayings which indicates the divinity of Jesus, most of them found in the Gospel of John. I and my Father are one. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Before Abraham was, I am. All the I am sayings are mostly found in John, which is the later Gospel. But in reality, we find He's a very human character. And if you look at the Gospels and you not go to them with any preconceived ideas, there is no way you will believe in the divinity of Jesus. The impression you'll get is that Jesus is a man, a teacher, who is calling people to the worship of the one true God and to submit Himself to His divinely revealed commandments. For example, if you go to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5, verse 17 to 20, where He says, think not I have come to destroy the law or the prophets. I have not come to destroy, but to fulfill, for verily. And then He mentions later on, He says, whoever breaks one of the least commandments is considered the least in the kingdom of heaven. And this actually agrees with the Islamic perspective, the Islamic teachings. So this is very similar to the Islamic concept. And when we look at Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, when we look at Prophet Muhammad, of course Muhammad traces his ancestry all the way back through who? Through Abraham, but not through Isaac, through Ishmael, because we know he had two sons, and from whom the Arabs are descendants. So Ishmael is the father of the Arabs, and Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, he traces his ancestry back to Ishmael. What was the message of Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him? What is the fundamental teachings of Islam? Our religion has a name, which is mentioned in the Quran, and that is Islam. And the followers are called Muslims. The followers of Islam are called Muslims. The fundamental teachings which Muslims have to believe is to believe that there is only one God who is the creator, control of the heavens and the earth, who has power over all things, that he is the sovereign, he is the Lord, and that he alone must be worshipped. That we should not worship the moon, the sun, the stars, or any human being, even Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him. We cannot worship him. You cannot worship anyone except God Almighty. This is how strict Islam is when it comes to the Tawheed. And that we must submit ourselves to his divinely revealed commandments. Therefore, just as Abraham, Moses and Jesus, Muhammad also taught to believe in one God and submit to him. May the peace and blessings be upon all of the prophets of God. If we examine the meanings, the word Islam, it's an Arabic word, it comes from the root word istislam, which means to submit, surrender to God. And by doing this, you will acquire peace. And the reason why the ones who practice Islam are called Muslims is because, that's also an Arabic word, is because in the English language, when a person does something, for example, the one that teaches, you put a suffix er after the word. For example, the one that teaches is a teacher, suffix er. The one that speaks is a speaker, speaker. The one that talks is a talker. The suffix er. That's the beauty of the language. That's in the English language. But the Arabic language, there's no such thing as suffix er. We have a prefix mu. For example, the one that talks is a mutakallim. The one that makes the adhan, he calls the praiser mu'adhin. Therefore, the one who does Islam is a mu'muslim. That's where it comes from. So the word Islam, the one who does Islam, is called a Muslim. And the word Allah is not a new word. It's not a God for the Arabs only, or the name or that Prophet Muhammad invented, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The word Allah is the Arabic word for the one true God. Is the Arabic word for the one true God. It comes from the root word ilah, meaning a God, or an object of worship. The word al is a definite article, meaning the one. It's an exclusive. It means the one and only. So that's where we get the word Allah, the one and only true God. And this word is perfect. It's a perfect word. Although I use the word God in my talk, it's because not many people are familiar with the word Allah, so I'm using the word God, Almighty God, so you guys know who I'm talking about. But the word Allah is a perfect word. Why? The word God can be corrupted. You can corrupt the word. You can make it, you can give it plural or gender. You can make it into gods, God father, God mother, see? God, goddesses. The word can get corrupted, but the word Allah, you can never give it plural or gender. It is a perfect word. And Jesus, according to the Bible, calls out, Eli, Eli, laman sabachthani. This is the Aramaic word for Allah, Allah, God. Also in the Hebrew language, it's Elohim, Eloh, Allahumma. So, this is the Semitic language for the one true God. This is the Semitic language for the one true God. We believe that all these prophets taught Islam. Submission to God, to surrender to God. This is what was the religion of the prophets. One God, one religion. They all taught to worship God alone and keep the commandments of God. We believe that Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, is the final prophet, messenger of God, Almighty God. Meaning that he did not come with Islam. That's a misconception. But he came with the last expression of Islam. So when Adam came, the first prophet, he also came with Islam. He taught the people to worship God alone, submit to God. That is Islam. It was whatever it was during his time, during his language. Whatever language he spoke, it was during whatever the name was. But the concept, the essence, it was there. Just like when Abraham came, he came with Islam. But as I said before, the word Islam is just an Arabic word. But it was whatever it was in their language. Moses, Jesus, they all came with Islam. So when Muhammad came, he came with the last expression of Islam. That his message was the climax of all the Abrahamic of the Abrahamic religions and faith. Same system, but on a higher level. Meaning last revelation, last prophet, last messenger from his time till the end of time. So this is what we believe. The Creator has revealed in essence one religion, one means of salvation. Because today we have so many religions. God will not confuse us by giving us all these different religions. Therefore, it's common sense to believe that there is one religion that is actually from God and the rest has to be man-made. They cannot all be from God because they contradict each other. But look towards the religion of Islam and you look towards, when it comes to the concept of God in Islam, you will not find, the concept of God in Islam is so perfect, you will not find any corruption or any weakness or any, we don't attribute any weakness to Allah, to God, or make him into a human being, or so on and so forth. So we uphold pure monotheistic belief. In reality, what has happened? People have corrupted, changed, distorted that message. The original message, teachings of the prophets was one. They were all brothers, one to another, in a sense that their religion was the same religion. They worshipped the same God and received revelation from the same God. It was the same angel, Gabriel, alayhi salam, who brought the Torah to Moses, who brought the Injil, the Gospel, to Jesus, and who brought the final revelation, the Quran, to Prophet Muhammad. Peace and blessings be upon all of them. But it is the people who, due to their pride, their greed, their hatred for one to another, their love of the world, and their following of their desires, and they're speaking about God without any knowledge. These are the things which cause them to go astray. To corrupt the message, the teachings of the messengers. To invent for themselves their own way and their own religions. Although they ascribe them to God and the prophets of God, but in reality, the prophets are free from those things. So therefore, there is no reason for the conflict which we find amongst religions we find today. At least, I believe, if people from the so-called monotheistic religions were only to be sincere and to sincerely and honestly examine the teachings of their prophets, to take away the traditions, the cultures, the man-made interpretations, and they were only going to the roots, to the essence of what the messengers taught, they will find indeed that God is one, the message is one, and the religion is one. And that is why Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, he said that the religion of God is like a beautiful building. And the people go around this building and they say that there is one brick missing. And they say, what a beautiful building. If only that one brick was in place. The Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, he said, I am that brick. I am the one who has completed that religion. The religion of God has been perfected through me. Just like someone who believed in Abraham and came to hear about Moses can only be a true believer if he believed in Moses. Because how can you believe in one of God's messengers and reject another? It is as if you are rejecting God. It is like you're rejecting God. To accept one prophet and reject another, it's like you're rejecting God. You cannot pick and choose, you must believe in all. You cannot pick and choose, you must believe in all. And this is the beauty of Islam. We don't pick and choose our prophets, we believe and have to accept all prophets of God. Those people who claim to be following Moses, when Jesus came, they were obliged to follow Jesus because Jesus was the Messiah for the children of Israel, which we believe. He was the Messiah for the children of Israel. To reject one of God's messengers is ingratitude to God. It is disbelief in God. Similarly, every true believer in Abraham, Moses and Jesus must also believe in God's final messenger, Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him. If they are true to their claim that they love God, and if they're true to their claim that they believe in God, and they are true to their claim that they want his pleasure and they want to be saved from his wrath, then how can they reject the messenger that has been sent down for the benefit and the guidance of all mankind? Allah Azza wa Jalla says in the Quran, in Surah Ali Imran, chapter 3, verse 84 to 85, he says, I'll end it with this inshallah. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل آمنا بالله وما أنزل علينا وما أنزل على إبراهيم وإسماعيل وإسحاق ويعقوب والأصباط وما أوتي موسى وعيسى والنبيون من ربهم لا نفرق بين أحد منهم ونحن له مسلمون ومن يبتغي غير الإسلام دينا فلن يقبل منه وهو في الآخرة من الخاسرين. Allah Azza wa Jalla, God Almighty, says in the Quran, He's telling Prophet Muhammad to say, peace and blessings be upon him, say that we believe, to show the people that He did not come with something new. He came with the same system, same message. Say we believe in Allah and what has been revealed to us, and what was revealed to Abraham, to Ishmael, to Isaac, and Jacob, and the tribes. We're talking about the 12 children of Israel here. And in the books given to Moses, and Jesus, and the prophets from their Lord. We make no distinction between one another among them. And to Allah do we bow our will. We bow our will in Islam, submission to Him. And then God says, if anyone desires a way of life other than Islam, submission to God alone, it will never be accepted from him. And in the hereafter, he'll be amongst those who have lost all spiritual good. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم فيا فوز المستغفرين استغفر الله.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. Podcasts on current events, Islamic guidance, Quran tafsir, and Sirah are available at islampodcasts.com as well as on iTunes. Rate, review, and comment and let us know how we can grow in our knowledge to better serve our community. Please subscribe, share, and tell a friend about islampodcasts.com.